Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey y'all, welcome back. Today's conversation is a little bit more somber than normal. Today I'm chatting with Charlene Quint. Charlene is a family law attorney who focuses her practice on helping women overcome domestic abuse. She wrote her new book, Overcoming the Narcissist, Sociopath, Psychopath, and Other Domestic Abusers, the comprehensive handbook to recognize, remove, and recover from abuse. This book is all about helping victims of domestic abuse become fearless victors that God has designed them to be. She's the founder of AbuseCare.org, a non-denominational faith-based organization designed to provide hope and healing to women in their journey from victim to victorious and to educate and equip the church as we care for victims of domestic violence. Today we're talking about how to be a good friend to someone who's in an abusive relationship and how we can have our eyes open wide. Y'all, this is a really important conversation. It was really kind of hard to have, and this just might be a good one for you to put headphones in. You know, I like to give you a heads up, and this might be a good one. So put your headphones in, go for a walk, and let's talk about being good friends to our friends who may be experiencing some domestic violence. So grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. That's so crazy because I am a firm believer that we go through seasons in life so that we can help other people in those seasons. Now, I hate telling people that because it's almost like, well, God allowed you to walk through this so you can do this sometimes. But I also know, like, I have friends who've walked through the grief of a child who then get to turn and walk through others with the grief of children. And so I love that you're using what God called you to, what God called you through to help other people, because there is so often people who don't believe healing is possible after these kind of situations, after abuse, after divorce, and after their lives being turned upside down. They don't believe that life can go back to the way it was before, or that life can be okay. And you're able to stand in front of them, shoulder to shoulder, hands on their face, I'm sure, saying, "No, you will be fine. We will make it through this." And it's hard to, especially, like, I'd like to go into, like, the aspect of, like, the church and say, like, how does the church, how can we be better as a church? It's kind of like where I want to start this conversation. How can we be better as the church?
Well, first of all, I just want to piggyback on you. What God's the God of redemption. And so when he redeems, he's going to put you in a better place than you were before. And I've seen that time and time again, not only with myself, but the women that I counsel and the women I represent, they are in better places. After God redeems something, you know, he puts you in a better place. But as for the church, there's a lot of things we could do. First of all, we can recognize as a church that we've got a problem. I mean, the numbers are just astounding. 35% of women at some point in their life experience rape, stalking, or severe physical abuse. And on top of that, almost half of women will experience emotional and verbal abuse and coercive control. And guess what? Those numbers are the same in Christian families as they are in non-believers. So, I mean, we need to admit that this is a problem. That's an epidemic. When half of the women are, you know, under coercive control or some type of abuse, that's crazy.
Well, and I think too, we think, well, they're going to church, it's all okay. Or there was an issue in the past, but now it's better because they're in church. And it's really scary to think that church kind of can just be a mask for a lot of people.
Oh, well, abusers use the church exactly as a mask. They cloak themselves with some respectability, and then they, you know, they make themselves look like a, you know, like a good church going guy. But, you know, the whole Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde personality comes out. But, you know, when they're back at home, they're abusing, but they're, you know, narcissists are particularly charming and friendly and outgoing. Usually in a church, they use churches to look respectable. And I think churches and pastors need to educate themselves about domestic violence and educate and equip themselves, because they don't get this in seminary for the most part. Almost every pastor I talk to says they've never had a class in seminary. Most seminaries don't even offer that. I mean, I served on the board of directors of a university. We had a seminary, and they don't have those classes. So, but it's something that every pastor is going to come in contact with, right. And so he needs to know this. So we need to start with educating our pastors and church leaders about abusers and domestic violence, and how do you address that from a biblically based perspective in church. And that's what I put in the book. There's chapters devoted to church. This is what you need to do, you know, in addition to, you know, educating yourself about how abusers work and their tactics. Churches need to know, here's a biblically based approach to support abusers and to support victims and hold abusers accountable.
Yeah.
And all too often, they don't do that. They side with the abuser, or they say, I'm not going to take sides, or we can extend grace, or, you know, we just forgive him. Or maybe if we just tell him one more time how he's hurting his family, you know, he'll change. Like, no, that's not how they work.
Yeah. it's an addiction. It's like, it's kind of almost like how and this is kind of a broad term, and I know that some churches do this really well and some churches don't, but it's how the church treats addicts. Like, okay, now we're getting one, like, don't do that. Like, stop doing it. You have one more chance, or they just must be sick. And it's like, no. Like, there's a sin root here. Like, if we get to the root of sin, and if you protect these families and you, like, counsel the abuser, sure, like, take him away and counsel him, like let's get to the root of this, but we have to protect the family first, and we can't just say, okay, now we're better, it's time to go back. Like, there's so much more there. Like, there's so much more there. And man, so tell us about your book. Like, how I want to talk about a couple things. I want to know about your book. I want to know how we can be good friends in these situations, and I want to know how we can identify better. I feel like these are like the three things that I really want to know. I want to be able to, like, look at a friend and not be like, hey, are you okay? But like, do you need me? Like, I want to be able to be a safe friend. And I think that our friends listening kind of want the same thing. And if they're in a situation, then I want them to know who their safe friends are.
Well, those are all really good questions, and so I'm glad you asked that. So which one would you like me to start with?
Let's start with how do we be a good friend?
How do you be a good friend for someone who's in abuse?
Yes.
First of all, I would say that person, you know, so many times I hear from other people and from clients, there's someone says, well, why don't you just leave? Like, like you're just picking up and leaving a store or something like that. That's not really helpful, because your entire life is wrapped around this person. I would say, if you're going to be a friend to someone that you know is in abuse, first of all, be a good listener.
Yeah.
Refer that person to a local domestic violence organization where they have counselors who are experienced in domestic violence. Oftentimes, even counselors don't have a lot of experience in these types of situations. So getting her connected to someone who does is huge. It's important. And don't be upset when she stays longer than you think she should, because she has to be committed and know that it's the right time for her to leave. On average, women go back to their abuser 7 times before they finally realize that he's not going to change, their relationship won't get any better, and it will, in fact, the abuse will continue to escalate, and so she finally leaves. But women stay in for a whole lot of reasons, so, you know, be mindful of that. But when she's ready to go, you know, be supportive.
Yeah. How can we, if our friend isn't willing or able to tell us, how can we spot this? Like, how can we be good friends with open eyes?
friends with open eyes. That's a great way to put it. Well, a lot of times people in abusive relations don't talk at all about their, you know, they don't talk about the abuse. It's embarrassing. So if you're in a healthy relationship, let's just compare it to a healthy relationship. If you're in a healthy relationship, you're bragging on your husband. Do you know so-and-so? He's so sweet to me. You know, he got me a cup of coffee this morning or whatever. People in abusive relationships don't have that. So they're not talking that much about them. They often try to hide things. So, you know, be mindful that, you know, of those type of behaviors. Also be mindful that, you know, if you see a sudden change where, you know, used to be an outgoing person and now she's very closed off and doesn't go out much, that's another indication. Oftentimes abusers will try to isolate their spouses so that they, you know, basically destroy their support network. And that's an intentional thing that abusers do. So if she's kind of slipping away, know that that's an indication. Or if she cancels at the last minute, obviously if there are bruises and they make up this story of, you know, I fell down the stairs or something like that, those are, you know, red flags.
Right, absolutely.
If he's always calling, that's the other thing, you know, calling in control. If they're, you know, texting, oh, I've got to get back home because so-and-so will be mad because I don't have dinner ready, or I can't stay long because this, that, you know, that's indicative of a controlling person.
Yeah. So now tell us about your book. It's coming out soon, and it is a story, or I'm assuming I know that it is a book that you took a while to write, because you didn't want to write it. Tell us about your book.
So, well, yeah, again, this is a book I didn't really want to write, but God was very insistent on getting it out. So it's called Overcoming the Narcissist, Sociopath, Psychopath, and Other Domestic Abusers. And the subtitle is The Comprehensive Handbook to Recognize, Remove, and Recover from Abuse. So, it's meant to be all inclusive, and at 576 pages, it's fairly inclusive. But when I was going through my, you know, struggles, I was trying to figure out what was going on. Is he going to change? What's wrong? Is there something that can, is there something I can do? What can I do to, how can I educate myself to get out of this? So, but there wasn't any one book on the market. It was, you know, there's a little one book that was good for that, and another book was good for this. And there's almost no books on healing. There was, you know, certainly a lot of stories about, you know, abuse, but how do you get from abuse to, you know, an abundant life? And how do you get out safely? There was almost no books that I saw on how do you get out safely? What's the process, and what do you need to do? So anyway, I wanted to put all of that in one book, how you can recognize abuse, how you can get out safely, and how you can heal and move on and with your life. So that's all in one.
I love that. And would you say that this is like a book for everyone, or would you say that this is a book, like if I have a feeling my friend is hurting or in a tough situation, is this a book I would give to her? And like, it's kind of only for the victims, or who can read this book? I mean, I know everybody can read it, but.
Well, the target audience, there's a couple target audiences. The primary target audience is the woman in abuse or recovering from abuse. So that's the primary audience. And it's also written for a woman of faith, because I think women of faith have been overlooked in this whole market. I mean, the majority of women have some type of faith, even though they may not attend church every Sunday or have a real strong, they're still a, you know, they have a faith component. And so that just seems to be missing from a lot of the books and a lot of, you know, honestly, a lot of the support groups and counseling, because a lot of the domestic abuse agencies are, you know, they have some government funding, so they can't walk into the whole faith thing. So I just thought that was an area that needed, that women of faith need to know about. So that's the primary audience. The secondary audience is really for the church and for pastors, again, to help educate and equip them so that they know what their congregation is going through. When a woman comes to them, they need to recognize, well, this is what a domestic abuse is. This is, and if they know the abuser, they'll be able to recognize characteristics and tactics that are used by abuser and what she's going through. And then it gives them step by steps. This is Mr. Pastor or Ms. Pastor. These are steps that you need to take to support her and to hold him accountable. Because if churches don't support the victims, there is a guaranteed series of events that will happen. Yeah. And they're not good.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
I want to jump in really quick to tell you about an online parenting event that you or someone you know definitely won't want to miss. We're living in some strange and difficult days right now, wouldn't you say? And I think it's safe to say that all parents feel the pressure to lead their homes well, especially now. Wouldn't it be nice to feel the freedom to check that perfectionism at the door and become a perfectly imperfect parent that God called you to be? It's time to sign up today for the Perfectly Imperfect Christian Parenting event that will be held on October 23rd through 24th. This is a completely digital event that was designed to give parents the practical and spiritual help needed to grow as leaders in the home. And it's in an easy, accessible digital form. With more than 40 available talks, you'll hear from amazing speakers like Aaron and Jamie Ivey, Mark Batterson, Jonathan Pitts, Nicole Zakowski, and the Duck Dynasty Robertson family, and so many more. Tickets are only $49, and we invite you or a parent that you love to register today for this digital Christian parenting event. Visit perfectlyimperfect.org to sign up today. Okay, let's get back to today's show. So when we are looking at our friends and like we kind of said, looking with open eyes, like being good friends with open eyes, and they say like, hey, this is going on, this is like, or we're just kind of like, we can obviously see something's wrong, but they, our friends, have not said something yet. How can we, because you don't want to be like, I don't know, and maybe you do, just we'll figure this out together. But how can we say, is everything okay? What do I need to be doing for you? This doesn't look right, without kind of slandering their marriage until they say something.
Well, yeah, that's that fine line.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Many Christian women in an abusive marriage do not recognize she is in abuse, because what has happened over the years, you know, and particularly if this is, if she hasn't had that many romantic relationships, maybe she met this, you know, this guy in high school or college, the first one she's ever dated, you know, they got married. So she has had nothing else to compare it to.
Right.
And over time, he's just said, well, this is normal. Every couple does this, and then he throws out the spiritual abuse card. Well, you know, I'm the head of the household, and you've got to submit and do what I say. And they're like, okay, I guess if that's what the Bible says, you know. So a lot of women are, particularly women of faith, don't recognize that they're in abuse. So I think it's helpful to gently say to your friend who may share something with you about what happened, and you can, you know, say, well, you know what, that's not healthy. Healthy marriages do this, you know, or you can, I had a friend that flat out and told me, that's abusive. And that was the first time I recognized that maybe my marriage was abusive, because I think most people think, well, if I'm not getting hit,
right,
it's not abuse.
Right.
And
but you have to call a spade, like, right. Like until your friend said that, it didn't even dawn on you. Like, you're like, he just might not be nice all the time, or this just happened, or that's where I think like the victim mentality, like, well, if I wouldn't have done this, this wouldn't have happened. Like we kind of play that game until somebody calls it and then you have no choice but to look with unveiled eyes, like, oh.
Right. And that's kind of what it was. It was the unveiling. And, you know, until that time, I could say, well, he was high maintenance or a big personality or, you know, some of these other things that, you know, just, but abusive. I didn't even know that there was things like financial abuse when you don't have access to funds, or emotional abuse, or, you know, spiritual abuse when they use the Bible against you. You've got to forgive me because that's what you have to do. And, you know, you have to take me back because if you love me, then that's what you do. So,
well, you can't leave me. We're bound together by the, by the Bible and by law and all that. Like,
exactly. That's, so I didn't even realize that all of these different types of abuse even existed. But, you know, when I told my friend and shared a story with her, and she goes, wow, that's abusive. I had never really applied that word to me before. And I think a lot of other Christian women don't either. Yeah. Until you kind of say, well, here's what abuse looks like. And that's what I do in the book. I talk about, because women are, you know, have been told for so long, well, this is what a marriage, this is normal. I put in there, this is what a healthy relationship looks like. So when in the chapters, you know, we have a chapter of each of, you know, emotional abuse and financial abuse and spiritual abuse and sexual abuse and physical abuse. We start each one with, what does it look like in a healthy relationship, so that they know, you know, how far off the field they've come. And then, you know, what it looks like in an abusive relationship.
Yeah, I can only imagine how much this is going to help those women who question everything, you know, like who feel unsafe and don't really know why, you know, they're questioning, like, is this normal? Like, is this okay? And when they can read those chapters in the beginning and be like, oh, and I'm sure, like, some marriage, not every healthy relationship looks like what you depicted in the book, but when you can look and say, like, oh, I don't really see any of this in my relationship, it's just going to give people a really great way to get help. And I think that is the biggest place we can start is getting help first and foremost, and then and figuring out the next steps. And I know that your book kind of covers that too. Like, okay, you have opened your eyes. Like, let's move forward now. Let's find the next step.
Right. Yeah. And you're absolutely right. Just opening your eyes and realizing that but you have that, you know, we're given a gut for a reason, and sometimes you can't put words to something, but you just know something's not right and you don't know why, and you just, you know, you keep reading all these marriage books and trying the five love languages and trying, you know, this and that, and then it's like, maybe so many times I hear from women, well, if I'm just nicer, maybe he'll be nice back to me. I mean, you can't be nicer than some of these women that I know. They're always just the most lovely women you've ever met. And, but that doesn't matter to an abuser. I mean, they're going to do what they do. So you're right. That's the whole idea. Cause you do think, I must be crazy. Is it me? Is it really me? Cause I'm bending over backwards to try to please this man, and there's no pleasing him. And, so you do question your sanity, which is exactly one of the tactics that they use. We talk about that in the book, you know, how, questioning your sanity. So I mean, I ended up going to a psychologist saying, hey, I just want a reality check. Can you tell me, is it wrong to expect, you know, a little respect?
I think that's wise. I think that's so great. Like I kind of told you earlier, as we write books, you know, we live the story we get to write, and then we write it. And then, like all of my listeners know, I call it keyboard counseling. So while you wrote this and you were counseled yet again through this trying time in life, part of your story, what did God teach you during this time?
Oh, wow. Well, there is so much. again, I'm not sure how much time we have, but you know, part of the process of writing a book on domestic abuse from a Christian perspective for women of faith was, you know, diving into the Bible. So I did a deep dive. I read, you know, cover to cover a couple times, and I read it maybe for the first time through the eyes of someone who had gone through domestic abuse. And I found out that, guess what? God has a lot to say
in the Bible about abuse and abusers and domestic abuse and how much he hates evil. Mm-hmm. I kind of just skipped the nice, pretty, fluffy places in the Bible, you know, and I read the Psalms. I like, let's do the praise God Psalms and, you know, butterflies and puppies. But God is really, he hates sin. He hates abuse. It's an abomination to him because he had this wonderful idea for marriage and for families to be a little bit of heaven so that, you know, the idea for a Christian marriage is to show the world, you know, just how much he loves us and to raise our children with the love of the Lord and for the protection of a husband over his wife and his family. And, you know, if you're in an abusive marriage, there's none of that. None of God's purposes are reflected in an abusive marriage. And so, you know, that was one of the things he told me because so many women have guilt about leaving this. But then he also opened up my eyes to some passages. You know, 2 Timothy 3 is a great example of this is a fantastic description of a narcissistic abuser, you know, right from the pages. And at the end, after he describes one, he says, have nothing to do with them. I'm like, yeah, because he says that like throughout the Bible, have nothing to do with evil people. Why? Because they're going to turn your life upside down. They're dangerous and they're harmful for you and for your kids and for anybody around them. Yeah. And I had to realize that, wow, God has a lot to say about this topic. Yeah.
I think that as we do research on the stuff that God has taught us, we can see we're not justifying anything, but you can see where God has a heart towards his people, right? Like, so he
sure does.
He cares about us and we are his bride, you know, like we are his beloved. And I know when I think about like my sweet kids, like, I don't want anything bad to happen to them. And that's exactly like the Lord feels that for us. Like when we're hurting, he's hurting. When we're being hurt, his heart hurts. And when we are the ones hurting, his heart hurts. Like this grieves him all the way around. So I just love that. I just love that he cares so deeply for us. I think that's really, really beautiful.
He loves his daughters and he will fight for us and rescue us. I mean, God does, when we get out of abuse, he is doing a rescue mission on us. Mm-hmm. And he will, I mean, break down the doors and get us out of there. I often tell women, you know, God's a God of redemption. And when you're leaving an abusive marriage, God's redemption looks like the Exodus from that when he brought his people out of Egypt. I mean, Pharaoh was just an evil man and God didn't change his heart. He remained evil his whole life and he used them, not because he cared about them, but because, you know, they served his purposes. And it's very much like a woman in an abusive marriage. The abuser doesn't care about you and he's not going to change his heart. God doesn't typically zap people into being good, but he will, just like he did with the children of Israel. He'll take you out, and you know, for a time it's through the desert, but he's got a promised land waiting for us on the other side. We do have to get through a desert, and just like Pharaoh, those abusers don't want you to leave, so they will try their hardest to get you to stay and make you give up. But that's God's redemption will bring us to the other side and
absolutely
put us on a promised land.
Absolutely. What God has really been doing in my heart lately is just reminding me that there's a time for everything. And with the podcast being called It's Time for Coffee, what is it time for in your life right now?
Well, I think this is a season in life. I feel like I'm a woman on a mission to help other women get out of domestic abuse.
Yeah.
And to open the eyes of the church to domestic abuse and, you know, help educate and equip the church on how to do it and help educate and equip women on how to do it. I'm in my mid-50s now, and I know I probably won't have, I don't know if I'll have the same energy I will in 20 years. So I see this very limited window. It's like, wow, I have so much to accomplish in the next 10 to 15 years. I've got to get this done. So I feel like I've got this limited time that I need to get this work out. So that's the mission I'm in now. And again, until God calls me to something different, that's my season.
I love that. That's so great. And then where can we buy your book? It'll be available everywhere?
Yeah, it's available everywhere, but you know, like most of us, we get lazy and we want to just go to Amazon and have it delivered tomorrow. So
how I like it.
Yeah, so it's available for pre-sale orders right now on Amazon. And again, the name is Overcoming the Narcissist, Sociopath, Psychopath, and Other Domestic Abusers, the Comprehensive Handbook to Recognize, Remove, and Recover from Abuse. It'll be in Christian bookstores too, but right now I think the release date is mid-October, but you can get your order in now as a pre-sale order.
Awesome. Well, Charlene, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Thank you for talking about hard topics. Thanks for being the feet on the ground and the hands and feet of the Lord right now as you are living your season super, super well.
Oh, well, thank you. And thanks for what you do and talking about these issues and your podcast and reaching so many women and men too, but mostly women, I suppose, and just, saying yes to God's call on your life as well.
Well, thank you so much. It's a lot of fun. And I mean, I get to sit and have coffee with people and share stories. So it's a good time.
That's great.
But thank you so much.
Thank you.
Man, I'm so thankful for Charlene and this conversation, just to be reminded that we can be good friends. And how do we do that? How do we be good friends with open eyes? How do we be a good friend to those who are experiencing something they don't want to talk about yet? Or if they do want to talk about, what can we do to help them? I just want to reiterate what she said. 1, be a good listener. 2, refer your friend to a domestic violence shelter or counselor. Do you know one in your area? If you don't, do some research. And 3, be sensitive to her timing. I don't ever want to push or shove anybody out of a relationship that they're not ready to walk out of, even though it might be the best thing. All we can do is be there for them. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.